This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. We're thrilled today to be joined by Tatiana Popkova. Tatiana is the Chief Strategy Officer at the Rush University Medical Center and the Rush Health System. She's going to talk to us today about COVID-19, but more specifically, Rush's efforts on digital health and virtual health and how that's worked with COVID-19 and so forth. Tatiana, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Well, absolutely. As you mentioned, Scott, I'm a chief strategy officer, and my primary job is obviously make sure that Rush University System for Health strategically can execute on its mission, improving health for Chicagoland and Illinois communities. I've been doing that for a little bit over a year, and with COVID-19 pandemic that are impacting all of us worldwide, my job definitely changed, and we retooling, refocusing our organization on present and on the future as well.
Thank you. And talk a little bit about the current COVID-19 situation in the city of Chicago. How is it going and so forth? And then also about how virtual health and telehealth is playing into that and how you're using it.
So, Scott, thank you for your question. We are, today's April 15th, and, about a month ago or so, today was supposed to be an apex, right, or the tip of the iceberg for Illinois when it comes to the increase in COVID-19 cases. You know, what we see today at Rush, through the work that our analytical team doing, is that we're seeing number of cases in Illinois leveling off. Or in other words, the doubling rate of growth of those cases now, as of today, at a little bit more than 9 days, which is slower than what we've seen in New York, Washington, or California. So we are cautiously optimistic that we are seeing leveling of those cases, or we're seeing that curve flattening in Illinois. Stating that, we still ready and prepared for anything that can come unexpected to us. We've been very fortunate to work across the state and with our governor, who's been an amazing partner and amazing leader in this. And we have to say that we put our voice to support what we're hearing from others in the country, that social distancing works, the measures that have been placed in Illinois work, and Rush is prepared at this point to handle what comes our way. We think we are in a good shape.
And Rush is one of the elite health systems in the country, but it's one of the unusual elite health systems in the country that it's both one of the very, very best, but also treats a whole mix of the community, not just sort of the highest end cases, the most advanced cases. It handles those, but it also handles a great deal of the population as a whole. Talk to us about telehealth and virtual health and some of the things that had been built before and their impact on this.
Thank you for your question. It's a good observation. Scott, I'm glad that you know that we are taking care of very large, very vibrant, and some of the most sickest patients in the community, and some of the patient population that is more chronically ill, not as acutely ill. And one of their tasks in front of us, and I believe that task is very common right now among a lot of leaders, clinical leaders and administrators across the country, is that as COVID-19 impacted us, we wanted to make sure and ensure that we are taking care of all of our patients. And given that we could not perform elective surgeries for all the right reasons, and we still cannot do that, given that the risk of patients that are immunocompromised or older, who primarily, as you know, through data, have those conditions like diabetes, or they could be obese, or have some cardiovascular issues, those patients could not come and see us. So what we did pre-COVID is that we anticipated that some of the strategic answers or practical answers to changing how we deliver care and the setting was through video, through digital telehealth through e-visits. So we built an on-demand model, and it's been live before, prior to COVID, where we could deliver that care in a synchronous way. You could start the conversation with RUSH providers through app. You could have it via text messaging, or you could escalate it into free-flowing video visit that is very similar to FaceTime. We started that work pre-COVID, and what happened is that through this process, we discovered that once pandemic hit, a lot of our patients not only were benefiting by this type of setting, but were preferred to be seen in that type of setting. So we turned towards our practices as well, and right now, as of today, all of our practices delivering video visits in the telehealth space. And I have to tell you that the feedback from that has been absolutely amazing. Providers like it, patients love it, and we do not anticipate that direction towards telehealth slow down anytime soon.
How important is it that part of the platform for this was built prior to this crisis?
Being ready with technology, with training, with ability to deliver care in a different setting was critical. So we are lucky, or we were thoughtful as a system about a year ago when we decided that telehealth will become one of the preferred settings for us. And, you know, reasons for it back then were convenience, consumerism, and definitely price point, because telemedicine could be delivered in a very attractive price point. Let me put this way. At RUSH today and before COVID, we could deliver on-demand program visit at the price point that's sometimes lower than the deductible that you would have coming to a clinic. So we've seen all those components and demand coming our way, and we were prepared to do so, not to the degree that we need to deliver today, but we absolutely benefited by having it in place pre-COVID.
Let me ask you a couple other questions. I've had a chance to visit with you before. You're sort of a brilliant mix of quantitative, analytical, and common sense. How was that analysis that you were doing to try and figure out amounts of ventilators needed, amounts of PPE needed? Because everybody talks about these numbers, but you and your team were in the midst of actually doing all these calculations. I want to ask you how that felt, doing that analysis, and how interesting that all is. And it's scary and interesting, so bear with me. Then I want to ask you in a moment about some of your efforts to sort of look at, as Chief Strategy Officer and as the whole system, what does ramping back up start to look like, and some of your thoughts around that, and how do you analyze what that's going to look like? A couple thoughts on these things.
So, again, thank you for your question. And, you know, I cannot take any credit for the amazing work that the analytical team has been doing. You know, RUSH and Dr. Lateef in particular had led in his previous role as a chief medical officer before he became chief executive officer for RUSH University Medical Center, the amazing analytical team that always applied the science and the data in something very practical. Our ability to forecast in this particular case and relate what we're seeing as a conditions in the healthcare environment here related to pandemic and apply it across the population or population health of Illinois, and then translate it into what we need as a hospital to deliver proactively care in a very safe PPE stacked environment, and the number of ventilators, number of beds, number of ICU providers, staffing was very, very critical for us. It felt very natural for us to be well prepared. The culture, the tools were here. So we took something we've done before in the quality of care, all the work that we've done with Vizient, and we applied the same science, we applied the same rigor, we took those processes and we applied for this particular instance, which is a huge public crisis such as pandemic. So it felt natural. We took everything we had done well before and we just applied it in a very different situation. We retooled ourselves, we flexed a little bit more, but it worked very well for us.
So and Rush has been for a long time, and I'll come back to the second question, a sort of a very brilliant system that plays way above its size, weight, in that it's really, it's a few hospital system now, but it's a completely elite academic medical center as well. It serves a broad range of the community, and it's done that through a lot of clear strategic choices over the years. So I'm not surprised that your answer has those analytical and quantitative strengths there, even with Dr. Lateef versus in the past Dr. Goodman or Peter Butler and others, there's a long line of people like yourself that are highly bright, highly quantitative, and compassionate. So it's really an amazing system. The second question, as you start to look at strategy, and I apologize for moving off of the virtual health topic, we'll come back to that, just a little bit of your thoughts on how do you start to assess what ramping up the system starts to look like again, as so many elective things that don't feel elective to a patient that needs them start to get started again. How does ramp up start to look? And, you know, any thoughts you can give on when that gets started again or how it looks and feels?
Of course, again, thank you for asking this question. And, you know, you call around the country right now, and probably anyone, not only in healthcare, are going to tell you we don't really know how it's going to look like. But there are a couple of items, couple of things, couple of elements that we do know. COVID-19 did not eliminate cancer, did not eliminate cardiovascular disease or diabetes. The delay in care that we're seeing now due to pandemic and the crisis, the temporary right now crisis when we are trying to focus and deliver care to address the current public health emergency. Unfortunately, you know, potentially will impact some of the people who have chronic conditions, and some would not only because hospitals cannot deliver care, but because patients, unfortunately, will be very fearful coming back to a traditional healthcare setting. And that is something that on all of our minds. How can we deliver on our core mission of improving health, eliminating cancer, and saving lives after COVID? Or let me put this way, what we're seeing now is that the reality, there will be no such thing as after COVID. We will have to live with the fear or risk of the infection being with us until vaccine is developed and also administered, which now we're seeing could be anywhere between 2022 and 2025, which is a long stretch, 2 to 5 years from now. So when we're looking broadly, and we know that the travel will be interrupted, and healthcare is a very global industry. You know, people from Chicago, as you know, used to fly for, let's say, their transaction or of care. They could fly to MD Anderson. They could fly to Mayo Rochester. We see that being interrupted. So we think that healthcare will be more regional, at least for some period of time. And what we cannot deliver via telehealth, which I know we're going to come back to, we should be able to partner with some of those greatest destination centers locally. So we potentially, you know, looking how can we still deliver on what consumers in health and patients are looking for locally here. And I believe there will be an explosion of non-traditional partnerships between academic medical centers, which in the past were very difficult to gain because we all ask patients to come here locally. Once that's been interrupted, we have to be more flexible, we have to be more creative, how we work with, together for the best of the patient. So you'll see more data sharing, I think you'll see more partnerships among the best and the brightest and best in class healthcare delivery centers and destination centers across the country. And we see that also for us in Chicago taking place as well. And we do see that, you know, the telehealth is not really an answer for all of the patients and not going to be enough because there is a component that you get. It's not only that, you know, high touch tactile component of the visit that we all used to, is that we're seeing that there are traditional data points that are missing from the current video visits, which is you know, the provider that having that visit cannot tell you what your current blood pressure or glucose levels or sugar levels or what your temperature and so forth. And more condition specific it becomes, less impactful over time that video visit going to be. So what we do is that we're looking at how can through digital space and innovation, we can bridge what traditionally patient and provider would get from the traditional visit. Basically that health, you know, H&P health and physical, what can we get through wearables? What can we provide our patients where a provider is comfortable that they're getting the most on time and most important information from that interaction in addition to having a face-to-face conversation. So there will be explosion. I believe there will be an explosion in the medtech innovation. And, you know, as long as regulatory waivers and reimbursement parity from payers stay here, the telehealth will become one of the major delivery components for our healthcare system because that reach is tremendous.
And people were really wanting telehealth before this. I remember just not very long ago, one of our kids needed some kind of therapeutic engagement, and it was still a behavioral therapist that would only do things by in-person meetings. And now, you know, overnight, everybody's doing telehealth in all kinds of different ways, and just is just to flip the switch really, and that switch nobody wants to flip that switch back.
You just said it, especially behavioral health. So, you know, one of the areas that you've probably seen now coming to the point where social economic conditions, not only what we traditionally consider to be in acute health issues, we'll see that way for that impact from COVID-19. So behavioral health or mental health is one of those service lines where, was built for telehealth. In the private setting, a lot of providers have been delivering this type of service via telehealth to make sure that their patients staying in touch with them when they couldn't come to their in-office visit. And today at Rush, for example, we're doing the same. We are taking, that's one of the first service lines where we think we can scale up and answer the need in the community, not only here in Illinois, but anywhere else where we think there could be need in the country. You brought up also a very good point that the provider you mentioned was not comfortable or at least was not used to seeing patients in that setting. So think about the adoption rates or lack of adoption rates because there was no right incentive with some of the providers as well. We're seeing it flipped. Moreover, what we do at Rush today is not only retraining or providing the support to faculty and providers of how to deliver care. Remember we used to talk about bedside manner, and now we're referencing it telehealth manner, which is a very different skill set, right? So there's a lot going into the telehealth more than just the technology.
100%, and how you deal with people, how you pay attention to them, how you focus on them, how you listen to them. All those things, and you also mentioned something else that's fascinating. Is you mentioned this issue of the tactile nature of an in-person visit, and all the additional communication that comes from that, and all the different pieces of that, and obviously, while we embrace the convenience and the efficiency of telehealth, we don't want to fully lose that either. That social interaction, that ability mm-hmm. to sort of like be patient and get to a next level of discussion and learn more about what's going on with the person and the patient. And so there'll be some balance, I take it.
Or absolutely. You know, there will be not only balance, but what we do well right now, and again, I'm going back to telehealth, and there will be an opportunity if you think about our workforce, right? When we go into that setting, what we're also seeing is that there is some components where a patient can relate better to what we do. If we have, for example, a medical assistant, that does it virtually before they're seeing a provider. So we're retraining right now a workforce of our staff, clinical staff, to also help our patients to bridge that almost social component of being seen or replicated of being seen in an office, help them set up the app, you know, help them to get their scales that we're sending to some of our patients or blood you know, blood pressure cuff to make sure it's all synchronized with their home. And it's someone who is helping them, basically holding their head, navigating them. We're also looking at how we're training our residents already, or how we're training our medical students, because telehealth is a brand new way that we're not teaching our residents on. So we're incorporating all of those elements in every part of our mission, every pillar of Rush University System for Health.
It's fascinating. But Tatiana, we admire what you do, what Rush does. I'm local to Chicago, so I've seen Rush forever in terms of their greatness in orthopedics and a lot of in acute services, and also being a great, great community provider at every level of the socioeconomic situation and scale. So we admire greatly what you do, and we thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you very much.
Pleasure visiting with you, Scott. Thank you for having me.